It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. Got a good show lined up for you today. We're going to speak with Trenton Barry here in just a little bit from RacingDirt.com. I don't know if anybody watched the USMTS race at Fountain City, Wisconsin this last weekend. They were up there with the World of Outlaw Late Models. I'm going to say it. Possibly one of the best modified features I've ever seen. Five cars battling for the lead. It was a fantastic USMTS race. I know sometimes I'm kind of critical about the cost of USMTS racing, but let me tell you, folks, that when it comes to modified racing, it doesn't get any better than USMTS. And I know that Trenton Barry hates it when I say it, but they are the World of Outlaws of modified racing. And I know Trenton hates me to say that, but that is the case. Trenton Barry, again, will join us here in just a little bit, and we'll talk about that fantastic race that they had up there at Fountain City, Wisconsin. Mississippi Thunder Speedway. Now, why is it called Mississippi? Because it's by the Mississippi River, right, Austin? Isn't that right?
I believe so.
Yeah. How you doing, buddy? How was your weekend?
It wasn't too bad.
Wasn't too bad? Yeah?
Nah, I stepped out of my comfort zone and watched a UFC fight, which is...
You did?
Never seen it before, so...
You've never watched a UFC fight before, ever?
No.
Never?
Nope, so I didn't watch any racing Saturday night and traded it for some physical contact, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, there was a couple snoozer fights wasn't there?
I'll be honest.
It didn't do anything for you?
So I think the stream started at 6 o'clock or so.
Right.
Maybe 5:30. Well, I fell asleep from 5:30 to about 7:30. And then when the main event started, I guess the big fights is when I woke up. So
right.
I only got to see 3 or 4 fights. But
I think a couple of those, from what I was listening to on Sports Radio 810 this morning on the Border Patrol, Stephen and Nate, they were talking about how a couple of those fights were kind of snoozers.
Yeah, I think it was the co-main event. It was two females going for the championship, and it was
the
boringest 25 minutes of my life.
They just
danced around. There was no punches thrown or kicks, or anything. It was just. As a new person, it was the boringest fight I've ever seen in my life.
If you want to watch a fight, you want to watch somebody beat somebody up, right? If you're going to watch one, right?
I got to see someone get kicked in the jaw and knocked out, so that was pretty interesting.
They said that might have been one of the most spectacular kicks, knockouts in MMA history.
That was, I'll have to agree with that. Never seen it before, but that was a heck of a shot.
I didn't see it. I'd love to be able to see that kick, but I didn't see it. So, man, we got a lot to talk about today, Austin. Where do we start, though? I mean, there's so much to talk about. I know everybody's talking about it today, about Joey Logano doing the bump and run on William Byron. Should we start there with that one right there?
I'm fine with that.
All right. So your thoughts about a bump and run. Did you think that he plowed him, or did you think that he
just moved him.
He moved him up into the wall, though. He hit him a little hard.
Yeah, I mean... Joey has to. So Joey's not in the chase yet. William's in with 2 wins. So
yeah.
At that point, you're getting the 10th or 11th race in the season. Your car hasn't been that good, and you got a shot to lock yourself in. And the way the format is anymore, you have to win to get in. And
right.
We've seen nine to 10 different winners now, and there's only 16 spots available.
There's driver that's won 2 races this
there's
year.
There's 2 drivers, William Byron and Ross Chastain.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So you
that's
have
right,
to,
right, right.
You see your opportunity, you have to take it. I mean, it's nothing different from like Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt, or any of those old school racers that just will flat use you up. I mean, we want to see some excitement and a little bit of drama, but I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with it. He had an opportunity. He needed to make the most of it, and he did.
Well, as you know, I'm not one against using the horn, right? I did that quite a bit when I raced in the day. I'd bump somebody or kind of try to intimidate them if you could a little bit. But I think if you're a Cup driver, and you know that Joey Logano's behind you, and you know that you're down to the last couple laps, that you should be prepared to get the front bumper. Joey Logano has been, he's got a history of that. And now he said that William Byron kind of used him up as he went for the lead and passed Joey Logano for the lead and kind of moved him up into the wall. He thought it was payback.
I mean, I could see Reese, he thinks that, but,
yeah,
you know, we're not like, you know, Formula One or European races series that are forbidden to have any contact between cars.
Right.
You know, we're good old boy racing where we market and advertise, you know, fights and crashes and all that, and people use the bumper, and you,
right,
it's the bump and run, really. I mean, it's nothing different that we've seen, and, you know, if he's going to give it to you, you got to give it back.
There's some people that thought that, and David is one on here, he just said it, there's some people that thought that William Byron slowed up a little bit entering that corner, and that magnified the contact that Joey Logano made with him. Did you feel like he slowed down getting into that corner?
I mean, he could have thought, had the thought process of, you know, don't mess this last two corners, sets corners up to have Joey get an opportunity to catch you coming off a four. So,
right.
I mean, you're screwed both ways. If you back it up, he's going to run through you. If you ever drive it and get in the fence, you're going to lose it. So, I mean, he had to have a very fine line of making the corner, and, you know, he just kind of chose the wrong option there and got to see the reward of it.
Right. So, you know, I'm not a big Joey Logano fan, to be honest.
I'm not either. I don't want to stick up for him, but I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Well, me personally, I don't have a problem with it, because if you're going for the win, and listen, you win, you're in the chase for the championship. There's a lot of pressure on these guys. This is a reflection of the formula of what kind of racing that we have right now, right?
Yep.
In order to get in for the chase for the championship, you got to win.
You have to.
And how many different drivers have we? Was it what?
9 or 10 now?
10 or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short is, it makes drivers desperate, and they've got to do what they've got to do to get in there and win and get into the chase for the championship. There's so much laying on the line right now to get into this championship run. So I think the pressure is what really causes drivers to act like this. You?
Yeah, like I said. You know, you're running out of spots. Time's starting to click down. And, you know, what happens when we see 16 different winners in the Cup Series this year?
Right.
And maybe 17. And now we're trying to get, stage points, other points to secure your spot into a championship.
Wow. Yeah. Man, let's not dwell on that too long. Man,
yeah.
Is that wreck that we thought they didn't have right there? Was that the wreck? In turns 1 and 2?
Yeah, they didn't catch. They showed the last part of it. They didn't catch the whole replay.
They didn't catch it all.
No.
Tell me the driver's name there again.
Christian Bowman.
Man, that was a nasty wreck up at Knoxville, wasn't it?
He went for a heck of a ride. I've never seen a car come apart like that.
Do you have any pictures of that car anywhere to where we could take a look at it? I know that you came up with some a little bit earlier today, and we were looking at it, but that car was completely destroyed. And a miracle that he walked away from that car. Now, pull that up on the screen so everybody can see that and take a look at that. That car is what we call junk. There's no saving that car right there.
I think the best thing you're going to take away from that car is a steering wheel and a seat.
That might even hurt the motor in that car.
Oh, I'll try and get the right side picture of the car pulled up, but it bent the, I mean, it's through the oil pan and the radiator's through the front of the motor. I mean, it's done.
Yeah. Miracle he walked away from that wreck, right?
It is. And I mean, we'll pull the pictures up of him, and he's, you know, his face is all swollen, eyes are shot. And
yeah,
I mean, he went for a heck of a ride.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that he walked away from it, and he's going to take a little time off, I guess, to recuperate from that, right?
I would think
It's going to take a little time to recuperate from that financially as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's almost, if they got good equipment, which I believe they do, that's almost a $75,000 to $100,000 loss right there.
Right,
Not something you want to do every day.
Yeah. Well, it's good that he walked away from it. Carson Macedo picked up the 410 win up there. Clint Gardner picked up the 360 win. Did you see anything spectacular? Sam led a couple laps of that early, right?
Yeah, Sam had a shot, and then he kind of got choked up off of two, and it opened the door for Justin Henderson, and then they all were kind of running through the middle for majority of the race, and Macedo found the bottom and was one of the ones that could stick it and just got by both of them and walked off with it. It was good to see Knoxville have 55 or so, 410s. Rain outs definitely helped, throughout the country, but yeah. They had a stout car count even in the 360s, too.
A lot of Outlaw guys up there.
Yeah. Outlaw and All-Star guys. So definitely a good test for your locals for later in the summer.
Right. Justin Henderson led there for a little bit, though. Did you see that?
He did. Yeah, he got by Sam, a couple in, and then it was Masuda from about the midpoint on.
I thought Reitzel was going to get up there and mix it up a little bit, too, didn't you?
He had speed, and then he got caught up with Kerry Mattson, and Kerry Mattson threw a block from Dingus on him, and he kind of got in the berm a little bit and, lost his momentum, and that kind of stalled out his run for the rest of the race.
Yeah, no doubt. So that was some pretty good action up there. Good car count. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go up there this weekend because I'm going to be doing the USAC Sprint Car Tour right here in Kansas City. We're going to be on Thursday night at Lakeside Speedway, Friday night at US 36, and Saturday night I-70 Speedway. That's a good three little stop, little swing right here in our town.
I know, I'm excited for it. It's been a while since we've had USAC Sprint Cars, at Lakeside. It's been quite some time, I think, for, US 36, and I know I'll make those two for sure. I'm not sure about Saturday. I hate to miss I-70. I love that place, but I'd rather go racing myself.
Yeah, you're done. So possibly getting your motor back tomorrow maybe, right?
Yeah, phone call will go out when I leave here, so we'll see.
Yeah. So how about our boy Mike Muller picking up another win? He kind of lucked into it, though. That's okay, though, right?
Yeah, you'll have to fill me in on the racing up there. I missed the USMTS and the late model show.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, it looked like the 16 car was going to win that race, and then he gets into a lapper, number 90. I can't remember the guy's name. But it looked like he was on his way to victory. And Mike Muller's just happened to be sitting in the catbird seat. He just sitting there running along second place, and when that happened with the leader, he took over the lead and went on to win the race. $50,000. I think maybe we might be a good luck charm for Mike Muller.
We might be, and he's better off being lucky than good sometimes that deal. And he kind of shines when they have the big money races show up. I know he won Kyle Larson's event at Bulls Gap. I think it was that a $20,000 win? I think it was. And then he won $50,000, and then he had a pretty good run at Bristol. So I mean, the money definitely is a good thing for Mike Muller.
I'm sitting here trying to find out. Gosh darn! I had the guy's name. Oh, Tyler Bruning was the guy that was leading that race, the number 16 car, red car, and he ran into the 90 of Lance Matthews, and unfortunately, that took him out of the race. Man, there's nothing that'll leave a bruise on you more than taking yourself out of a race, leading the race,
especially when you hit a lap car.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. So it was good to see Mike Muller pick up the victory there. It was kind of funny. Some of the late model guys were talking about how it was laying rubber down in 3 and 4. But then when the USMTS guys went out there and ran, they ran all over the track. They didn't jump down in the rubber. I was a little shocked by that, to be honest with you. You know, if there's a race before you and they say that it rubbered up, wouldn't that be the first place you'd want to go to is to the rubber?
I mean, of course. We talked about this last week because we had the same kind of instance when they were running the top with the late models and the modifieds ran around the bottom. It's just the tracks being so wide and how the cars, react with small tires and, the horsepower that they have. They just, sometimes it's momentum and sometimes it's in the rubber and it just it fell the other way this time. So that's the only thing I can think of why those cars would be so different.
I thought that Mike Muller might get in trouble. Him and Turbo got together a little bit over there in 1 and 2, and Herb and him got together, and I thought that it might have cut his right front tire down. Just a little bit of contact, but it doesn't look like there was any hard feelings over that. So you didn't watch that race, though, did you?
I did not.
You didn't get a chance to watch it. No. It's pretty good stuff, though, man. I'm getting to be a big fan of the late model guys, man. I'm just digging those guys a lot right now. But I think the best race of the weekend for me personally was the 10,000 win 50-lap USMTS race up there at Fountain City, Wisconsin. Dustin Sorensen, he picks up the win. It's his third win of the year in seven starts. What a fantastic race, folks. I don't know how many people watched that race, but the top five, they were just running their guts out in that race. It could be maybe the best modified race I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of modified races.
That's a pretty big statement there.
That's pretty
big. You're calling it the best.
It's one of the best I've ever seen. Would anybody else agree with me on that? Anybody else watch that race? It was unbelievable how good that race was. It was just fantastic. So, anyway, if you want to go back and watch it, you can on racingdirt.com. Again, that's racingdirt.com. It was kind of funny because I had to watch the modifieds on USMTS on Racing Dirt, and then I watched the late models on Dirt Vision. Neither one of them could show either the other's race. So you had to have two subscriptions in order to watch both races this weekend. That's always a little bit of a bummer.
It is.
Yeah.
So did they just turn the cameras off when the other class was out there?
What happened was, and I tell you, it looked like to me that Racing Dirt was a little more prepared for it. They did a bunch of canned interviews before the races. And so when the late models were out on the racetrack, Racing Dirt, they ran a bunch of these interviews during that time. And to me, it didn't appear that Dirt Vision was prepared like that. It seemed like they just pushed the camera off to the side and maybe push it on the crowd or whatnot, run some commercials here and there. But, yeah, good stuff, though, man. Did you get a chance to watch Husetts last night?
I watched a little bit of it. I seen the results that, you know, Parker Price Miller picked up his first win since he started his chemo treatment.
Right.
And that's they definitely had a good car count up there. You know, a lot of the guys, you know, made the Knoxville Houston swing. And yeah, to see Parker Price pick up a win,
that was good.
Was good to see.
Yeah. Well, Dodmeier was on his way to victory, and he spun out.
You don't see that mistake from Mark very often.
I think
if not at all.
I think he's won, if I'm not mistaken, it was something like 68 races he'd won up there at Husetts.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, he's the king of the Dakotas, really.
Right. Well, it that had to leave a bruise. Oh, my gosh. But PPM went on, and, man, I tell you where Parker Price Miller was so good last night. He was really good in traffic, man. He was just working that traffic unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be good at Husetts, you got to be one up on the wheel and be good in traffic because, you know, right, it didn't take him very long to catch lap traffic, and you catch it and you're in it the rest of the race.
Four laps. It took him to catch the back of the field. Four
that's
laps.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. But I think that was his second win. It paid $5,000 to win last night. A good win for Parker Price Miller. We're glad to see him. We need to get Parker on the show. Can we do that, you think?
I tried a while ago, and he was doing his treatment, and he couldn't come on. Well, but we'll definitely give it a shot again.
Let's try to reach out to him this week and see if we can get him on the show. It was a good win for him last night, and he picked up the $5,000 to win. On Sunday night, I'd like to go up and go. We found out that Jackson ain't going to run their 410 until when?
Like almost June.
June. No 410s up at Jackson until June.
No, they have a couple.
That's kind of weird.
They have
isn't
a couple
it?
Power, not Power Ride. They have a couple MSTS shows, and then they have like a Power Series, which is the 305s up there. And 410s do not make an appearance until like June 7th or so. It's earlier, early in June.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got all of our regulars hanging out with us here today. We'll say hi to David, Marie, Marvin, Pete. He's hanging out with us as well. Chris Lane, our good friend up the road from us here, he's hanging out with us. Tammy is checking in with us. She says she's going to be she's looking forward to the Outlaws coming to Central PA this week. Man, I wish I was out there. Man, that schedule looks fantastic, doesn't it? I mean, if I had the time to just run out there and travel around to PA and Ohio for a couple weeks. I'd love to go out there and do that.
That would be great. I mean, at some point, I would love to catch, you know, PA Speed Week and, you know, maybe Ohio Speed Week here in the future. But, yeah, I mean, you can never pass up a trip to the East Coast, especially right. Pennsylvania.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break here and pay some bills. When we come back, our friend Trenton Berry is going to join us. He's going to talk about that USMTS race up at Fountain City, Wisconsin, that happened this weekend. Mississippi Thunder Speedway. It's right by the Mississippi River. It's not in Mississippi. I learned that the hard way last week. So we'll talk about that and more what's going on in motorsports. I got a question. I want you guys to think about this question just a little bit, because I saw this on late night television the other night. And I want everybody to think about this for a little bit. I want to know, in the world, in the entire world, is there more wheels or is there more doors in the world? Now think about that for a second. Is there more wheels in the world or more doors in the world? I want you to think about that. I saw that on one of the late night shows the other night, and they were asking the question, and a lot of people had different answers. Do you think there's more wheels in the world or more doors? That's the question. We'll be back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Trenton Berry's up next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
CigarPort.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Voice studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. And joining us now on the show is co-owner of RacingDirt.com, Trenton Berry. Trenton, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm sitting on my lawnmower underneath a shade tree. I was working on mowing my yard since I raced all weekend.
You need to get it done early because it's going to be hot today.
Yeah. When there's more of you to love, kind of like myself too. Me and Hot sometimes, you know, we jive all right, but
hey,
you definitely try to figure out the parts of the day.
Hey, you're not getting as big as me yet, are you?
I don't know. I've got my days.
Well, hey.
I try to skip breakfast. The doctor kind of wanted me to do that, and I can do that most days. And the problem is I just wind up meeting too much lunch, so I don't even really know.
Yeah. Well, Trenton, I said it at the start of the show that the Dirtland Showdown that they had up there at Fountain City, Wisconsin, that USMTS race, to be honest with you, might have been one of the best modified races I've ever seen.
Oh, my goodness. That thing was incredible.
Yeah.
And to, you know, we had a couple pretty good ones before. I think Friday was better than Thursday, and Saturday obviously was the best of the three and the best of the year so far. And
yeah,
probably the best. I mean, in terms of, it's weird because, you know, most races don't see that many as many lead changes as we had in that one. So, you know, sometimes we'll get a pair of guys that'll go, you know, they'll go side by side for 20 or 25 laps or
right.
something. I mean, that's not unheard of, but to have that many lead changes in that, and the fact that the first yellow, the only yellow, was early, and that they had to deal with so much lap traffic through the majority of that race was, yeah, I'm with you, man. It was great.
Well, you know what stood out to me was there was five guys racing for the lead in that race. Yeah. So just talk about the action that was going on in there. I mean, it was mind-blowing, to be honest with you, because it was so intense and you had so much lap traffic. Just kind of go through that race a little bit for the people that didn't see it.
So the crazy thing about that Hot Carl chassis, or he calls it chassis, Hot Carl chassis, so that's kind of funny. But he picked up Shane Sobraski, who in that part of the world is incredible. I didn't know his exact win total. I knew it was a lot. Like, we're dealing almost 40 track championships, and he's raced multiple divisions in a year and has won a ton of WSOTA races. But they said over 700 career wins. And,
oh, wow.
You know, you look at Shane, and he's not even that old, you know. But
yeah,
it's not uncommon in WSOTA for your really good guys to reel off 40 wins in a season too. So it's, you know, it's a little different.
Before you go any farther with it, is that because the talent isn't as thick up there?
It's not because the talent's not as thick. The talent's not as thick on the very top end
as
if you were to go tour.
I got
But
you.
there are 8 to 10 Wasota modified racers that could win a USMTS race anywhere we race, and he's one of those 10. He's probably in the top 2 or 3, to be honest, and maybe number 1. So it just kind of depends on who's got their stuff rolling at any particular time. And second part of that, they can go run 4 nights a week through a lot of the summer. So that certainly helps rack up wins. And you think about 4 nights a week and 2 classes a night, you can start stacking checkers pretty quick.
Right,
so,
right.
It's just the way Wasota's structured, and it's cool. It's a great, great organization with outstanding drivers in it. So, yeah. He was the one, really, he had never been in that car before. That was a different brand of car than he typically drives. Mm. I talked to him Thursday, right as they'd rolled the car out of the trailer, and he had just climbed out of it. He'd sat in it, and he said, "Oh, this will be good." He said, "My feet don't even reach the pedals." He said, "We got some work to do."
Uh-oh.
So it wasn't like there was a lot of work ahead of time. And you know, it'd be darn Saturday night when it's all done, he finishes third. And that was right. Maybe that shouldn't have been a shocker, and it wasn't a shocker based on talent for me. It was a shocker based on the fact of all the unknowns that I had found out
right.
that they had going into the race. So for him to compete was wild. Gustin, he only ran one night, so he got in Terry Phillips' backup car. They started talking about that Thursday when they got there. You know, he's full-time late model racing, so he had his other car to worry about. He ran fifth, of course, and won his heat race and looked just like Ryan Gustin always does in a modified. And then Caden Carter, he runs Vanderbeek's cars and typically races IMCA. So we don't get to see him a lot in USMTS, and he ran second. So
right.
I think equally as impressive, right? The points leader won the race. There were a ton of lead changes, but within that top five, there were so many that things just went right that if, you know, like if you're playing My Race Pass Fantasy or Dirt Draft Fantasy or whatever, you're probably not picking those three, you know what I mean,
to fill
out your team when you have 70 guys to pick from. So it was unique, and it was interesting, and it was awesome all at the same time. As a guy that goes to every one of those races, I love it when you see fresh blood in the top five. Two reasons. Never allows it to get stale, and hopefully – shows those guys that are watching on TV around the country that they can roll in there and compete just like those other guys too. So
yeah. Trent, how many? I think there were 73 cars there. Is that correct? 73.
So there was 73, and I think the second night was 71 or two or 70, and
right.
I think we ended with 71 on the final night. They were all within 3 or 4 cars every night.
How often do you have that many cars at these national races like that? I mean, that's non-typical, isn't it?
I mean, this was only our third weekend this year, and, you know, we had, there was 70-some, 74, 75 for the first night down in Petty, Texas for the first weekend.
Yeah.
The first night, second night, we lost a few, and gosh, I think there were 70 or 80 at Humboldt for the King of America.
Well, that's true.
So here's what's crazy, right? It costs a hell of a lot of money to go do this. Those cars are expensive.
Yep.
Parts are hard to find. Diesel yep. fuel's ridiculous.
Motel rooms.
Hotel rooms are out of this world.
Yep.
But we're not racing for $2,000 and $3,000 to win anymore.
That's true.
And
That's true.
I tell you that. And Thursday was three. There's a couple times this year, the Thursday night, where a Friday and Saturday at the same place are going to be three. But we're not running for those purses that were, you know, even 3 years ago, we're not running for those purses.
Right, right.
And the point fund that used to pay $20,000, $25,000 to win is now paying $100,000 to win. So the entire bar has been raised, right? So I'd be a fool to sit here and tell you that I think come August that we're going to run 70 cars. But I think there's probably a chance in July when we go to Ogilvy for 2 days that we're probably really close to that,
yeah.
you know, just mm-hmm. a couple weeks before. So.
Yeah.
You know, I think point fund cars were right around 20 point fund cars last year, which is, again, you know, that's unheard of to carry that many full time cars.
Right,
and that was when that's when it was $70,000 to win.
Right.
So
I think what you're telling me is a person could be a professional modified racer now.
Sure. Now you're going to have to get in the races, and that's what talking to these guys. You can't be a professional modified racer if you can't get. You got to get yourself qualified in that A main if you're going to do it, and you can't miss many of those races. But yes, I mean it's right there for them to do it. It's a whole new world, man. I don't even know what to think of some of these races. I went through most of last year, and I thought, well, I guess this is just what it is anymore, you know, because right. 50 and 60 used to be an anomaly, and I'm telling you, if there weren't 40 last year, we were all going, well, what the hell?
Right. Trenton, you know, it was funny because the late model guys, when they were out there in their race, Mike Muller picked up the victory there. They talked about how it was laying rubber down there maybe a little bit in 3 and 4, but if you watch that modified race, you never saw the guys searching for the rubber, really. They were all over the place.
Yeah, and I don't know what went on over on that side, and of course there was no way in the world they were going to allow us to work together, so whatever there. But I didn't hear that was news to me. It cleaned off a little bit, but it didn't clean off for very long ever. And that's, you know, Bob Tim doesn't let his racetrack sit very long ever. So,
right.
He's kind of likes to keep traction in it. And I mean, there were a couple of times it got clean, but there was never a time that it latched. I don't feel, there was one of those B mains that got a little bottom dominant Saturday night, but, one.
Right. I know that's a tough assignment when you listen. I'll tell you this right now. I said it a little bit earlier in the show that it seemed like you guys were a little more prepared than Dirt Vision because you had a lot of pre-packaged stuff to keep people interested in the broadcast as the broadcast went along when the late models were out on the racetrack. You guys did your due diligence and you did the work prior to the event and had a lot of pre-recorded packages, and I thought that was good.
I had 20 past races sitting in the till that we never even played one of.
Really?
There.
Wow.
Sorry, excuse me. I did, and we talked about it, and we discussed what we were going to do, and I brought more people to the race. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat here.
That's all right. Go ahead.
And we talked about what we were going to do. I brought more people. I brought one of our guys that does GoPros as part of his job. I talked to Tyler Rinkin about some of the package stuff that I wanted him to work on through the weekend. And I knew we were going to need to go get, 8 to 10 interviews before the races started to have.
Yeah.
Try to do my part not to date them too much. So if we had to go back and play them later, that they would still be, at least partially relevant.
Yeah.
We sent our infield reporter to the pits after the heat races to go nab 2 or 3 more additional interviews. We interviewed every heat race winner. We did the redraw live on Saturday night, right on the front stretch while they were working on the racetrack. There was a lot, I'm not going to sit and tell you that it sucked because I feel like it was a chance for us to really show our chops with what we do. And I'm not going to set and beat my chest, and I'm not going to go, hey, woe is us, look at us, but we did a really good job with that broadcast.
No, I think you did too.
And we put a lot of work in to do it, and a lot of that fell on my shoulders, I had Stick to talk to. There's a lot of people out there now that are video people,
right?
And I think you'll attest with what you and Kirk do, that's great. And it's awesome. But if you're going to do this job and do these races justice, you better be video people. And you, if you're not, you better hire somebody that is. You better have broadcasters that are available.
Yeah.
And that was nowhere more evident in our entire history of our company than what we just pulled off this weekend. I'm proud of this one, man. We put a lot of work into it. We executed it. Everybody had a good attitude going into it. We knew there were going to be challenges, and I'll tell you this, I think there was some thought from some, not the racetrack, not our series. So I'll just let the minds wander there. that we were going to get squashed and we were little and we were going to get walked on. And I'll be damned if that's going to happen to us ever.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, like I told you earlier this year on this show, I picked a good time to get out of this business.
You did. You picked a great time.
I mean, with the cost, the expense of fuel, the motel rooms, and to be honest with you, the cost of cameramen now that Flo has gotten into the game, and nothing against Flo, but they're paying these cameramen top dollar. And between the top dollar you got to pay the cameraman, the price of the motel rooms, the cost of fuel, it was the perfect time for us to get out. And we're enjoying what we're doing here, doing the podcast. You know, we're on the air 6 days a week now, Trenton. I don't know if you know that or not. But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really worked out well for us, and we are so blessed. I'm just going to say it. I'm not trying to blow his head up right now, but we are so blessed to have Austin O'Neill as our producer here. He's been he's been a blessing to us because he's not only really good at what he does, he's very studious at what he does too. He's very prepared, and he helps me a lot in preparation for these shows. And we just couldn't be happier that we've got Austin O'Neill over here helping us with the show.
Well, you can't do 6 days a week. I mean, you can't do daily radio without somebody behind the scene. I mean, you just die. Well, it wouldn't be possible.
Well, hey, when I met you, you were a board op, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But it was in that market I came from. I did a lot more than those guys did over at A10 to keep that job. And so it was a board op, but you were the board op, and you were the quasi producer as well that didn't pay in the market I came from. So
right.
It was definitely an indoctrination for me at 20 to 22 for sure.
Yeah, what you got some races coming up this weekend? USMTS, are they're at Red Dirt this weekend, right?
Yeah. So we're partnered with Todd and the racetrack, and we're dipping that promotional toe in the water there. We did a race earlier this year with Mike Johnson up at Winston, and this is our second one.
Yeah. Hey,
we're partnering with Todd at I-70 coming up too. So. Yeah, this is gonna be fun, right? Like, we've never been there before, the track race as well.
Yep.
We go stream there a bunch, different things. It's close to where Michael Jackson and Cordell are from. So
right.
We go there from time to time, and it's really a gem of a racetrack. So I'm pumped for that one. And Tri-State's as good as it gets on Saturday. That's one of the racers' favorite racetracks just because the track's wide and slick and smooth almost always.
Yeah. Hey, Trenton, is Todd worried about tires? Has he said anything to you about the concern of tires? Because we know that tires are kind of hard to get your hands on right now.
Yeah, so we've talked about it, and it's for sure questions I've been asking, right?
Right. You don't want to lose any dates, right?
Tire shortage hurts us too.
Right.
Man, it's hard. It's hard to know, right? So the short answer is he worried about tires right now? No. The American Racer says there's plenty. There's shortages of the other tires, not specifically the tire that USMTS and the USRA cars run, is what they're telling him. Now, you know just as well as I do, if you're not concerned about tires right now, you better probably get concerned about tires.
Right, no doubt.
American Racer says production's right on point for our tire. Another thing, I mean, you know, our tire didn't really race much until about right now. You know, there's just been a handful of races, whereas, you know, people got to burn through those Hoosiers at Speed Week. There's none of that going on there, at least to my knowledge, not on our specific tire.
Right.
So, I think there's probably a few more in the hopper. Do any of them have inventory like any of the regional distributors? None of them have inventory like they want, though. So all you have to do is go listen to their Facebook Lives and watch their posts and see about that. I don't recall. I don't know that there was a Bowman truck at Fountain City this weekend, but I don't believe we had a tire truck even this weekend. I know Purple Power had one there for a little bit, but I don't think we had one there, which we typically would for races of that magnitude. You know, there's typically a tire truck there. So Do I think it's as bad as the other side? No. But I also don't want to say that there's no problem because, one, I don't know, and two, I don't think that they're just like in a world's greater situation. You know, that wouldn't make sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still the same nylon that we can't make in this country. So
right, that's the bottom line, and petroleum's the problem right there with that. So
yeah.
So
yeah. What I will tell you that sucks for the racers right now.
Yeah.
Is they're opening up a lot of these late model tire rules, and they're rolling out more 20s and 30s than ever, and a lot of these are tires that have been stashed back for multiple years.
Yeah.
I think it is absolutely wrong that Hoosier is selling 5-year old tires at the current market price when those have already been made, and the only reason they're selling them is because they can't get the guys what they should be racing on.
Yeah.
I think that's an absolute joke that's going on right now.
Well, you know what? They're desperate. That's what that says, Trenton. They're just they're desperate right now. That's what's going on. Yeah,
absolutely. So I just, you know, desperate and screw the racer is not that's not something that I'm pulling out.
I'm hearing you. I'm with you 100%. Hey, before we let you go, you've got some Warrior action going on this weekend as well, too, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do the race at Wheatland, I don't believe. But I'm pretty sure we're going to go
handle
that one at Monette on Friday night. So that's been a fun deal. You know, they've had their share of troubles with tires, too. I mean, Terry's really fighting for tires right now. And
They just canceled Black Hills. You heard that, right?
I saw that, yeah. I didn't see that they canceled that.
Yeah. You know what, though? To be honest with you, I'm just going to say it for all the other people out there. There was a guy that was kind of on there complaining about the tour not coming up there. To be honest with you, I'm not sure many of the teams wanted to pull 900 miles one way for a 2-day show.
Yeah. I mean, understandable, right? I mean, diesel's over $5 a gallon.
Right, right. I talked to a team owner today, and he told me it was going to cost him about $1,800 to go up there and back in fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tanner Mullins was going to be over $2,000 by the time he left Wichita, went to Fountain City, and came back before he ever put his car on the track.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
so you just, man, I don't fault or blame anybody for going to a race or not going to a race.
Right.
I don't fault a tour for scheduling or not scheduling races, and I don't blame a racetrack for canceling or not canceling races, because it is literally insane what has to go on to even get a race to happen right now.
Right.
I'm not pointing my fingers at anybody.
Yeah,
it's wrong what Hoosier's doing on those late model tires. That's wrong. That's greedy. That's sorry. That should come back to bite them. I'm sure it probably won't. But beyond that, who am I to set and point a finger when everybody's just trying to survive? I mean, it's literally crazy. The industry right now.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Trenton. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show. We hope to have you on from time to time, talk about USMTS and all the great things that are going on over there at Racing Dirt. Thanks again for taking the time this morning. We'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
You bet, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, there you have it, Trenton Barry. Hey, I want to remind everybody, the next time you go up to Knoxville Raceway, you need to go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it started May 1st. They've got a tribute to Ascot Speedway, and it's inside the museum right now. You can go over there and check it out. I don't know if you know anything about Ascot Park that raced in Gardena, California. It was such a great facility. They're going to have cars and information about the drivers that raced at Ascot. Also, they're going to have T-shirts and posters. You can get anything that you want. It's a great tribute to the great racetrack out there in Gardena, California, Ascot. You need to go up there and check it out. It's such a great exhibit. You need to get up there and see it in person. And if you can't get up there in person, you know that the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum has an online store. It's open 24/7. It's called SprintCarStuff.com. And if you want to buy some merchandise from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, all you have to do is go to SprintCarStuff.com. But better yet, the next time you go up to Knoxville, just go over to Turn 2 and check out the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Tell Bob Baker that the Racing Boys sent you up there, would you? We'd appreciate you if you did that as well. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen-printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen-printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with my producer, Austin O'Neill. And the phone lines are open. We've only got a few minutes left in the show, but if you'd like to call in, Austin, if you could put that phone number up, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. You can give us a call here in the final moments of the show. So I asked this question, and not one person, not one of our loyal listeners said anything about it. I want to know, again, this was a question on a late night show the other night. Is there more wheels or doors in America? So is there more doors, you know, like you got doors in your house, right? Doors going into your house, doors going into buildings. Is there more wheels on the road than there is doors in America? Come on. Somebody work with me on this. I know it's a stupid question, but I just want to know. What do people think? Is there more doors or wheels? So, Marie says wheels. Cole says doors. You know, it's hard to think about, right? Because you think about it, 18-wheelers have 18 wheels on their truck. Cars have four. But here's the thing about a car, right? You've got four wheels on a car, but some cars have four doors. Think about that for a second. Try to get your head around that one for a minute. Right? Who do we got? Let's go to Ryan. He's calling in on the show. Hey, Ryan, wheels or doors? Who has more, wheels or doors? Oh, did we lose Ryan? Ryan?
No, I'm here. Sorry about that.
All right. So tell me, is there more wheels or doors?
I got to think wheels.
Wheels. All right.
I got to think wheels. If you're thinking, well, I mean,
there's a lot of doors in your house, right?
There's a lot of 18-wheelers on the road, too.
That's true. Austin, can you do a little research for us on that one there? Austin, I can always tell when Austin's digging in his phone. He's looking around trying to find stuff.
Well, don't forget all the race cars we have, too.
Yeah, I know it, but I mean,
trailers.
I'm sitting here in our studio, right? And I see one door, two door, three, four, five doors in this room.
But how many automobiles do you have?
I own one automobile, and it has four wheels on it, but it also has four doors.
Okay, and how many total cars in the household? On an average, you have two cars per household.
Hold on a second. Listen to me again, Ryan. Here, listen to this. Just think about this for a second. Every car that's on the road at least has two doors or four doors. And in today's world, most cars have four doors. They don't make too many two-door cars anymore, right?
Marie
says I only have... I love Marie. I'm just telling you, she's my favorite listener. She says she only has six doors.
I think I have seven in my house, and I have two vehicles.
Well, I don't know, man.
But then again, both of them are four doors, so I guess you know that ratio goes back on the door side,
right?
But you know, if you want to count, you know, the race cars and trailers and everything else, then.
Austin, how many cars are on the road in America? Can you go?
1.4 billion.
1.4 billion cars.
Okay, so you have over 5 billion wheels.
But if it's a four-door car, you'll have four wheels, so to cancel each other out.
Right, that's a trade.
Then you get,
But if you have an 18-wheeler, that's going to, you know, that's going to take off one side of the trailer axle. there's counters both ways on this.
Austin, can you punch in there how many households is there in America? How many houses is there in the United States? That's what I want to know.
Don't forget office buildings.
Yeah, wait till you go to New York or, you know, one
right,
of those super
that's
cities.
What I'm saying. I'm going to disagree with most people.
There's 1.16 billion housing units in the world. It was 1.4 in the world for vehicles.
So if there's that
don't
many
forget,
houses,
don't
then
forget barns.
Hold
don't
on a second.
Barn barns.
Listen, I'm going to say it right now. I think that there's more doors in the world than there is wheels.
I was on wheels last week. I think I'm on doors now.
Yeah, see there? I got you to change your mind, right?
I just think it's so close you can come up with. Don't forget implement tires.
Paul said
construction equipment.
Paul just said I'm out here driving around in Arkansas and all kinds of buildings with lots of doors, no wheels.
Yeah. Okay, don't forget the trains. All the trains have wheels, all the airplanes.
Jerome says wheels is my guess. My truck has 22 wheels. My townhouse had 8 doors. I mean, it just makes you think, doesn't it, a little bit, right?
I can honestly say, Scott, that question has never entered my mind.
I know it. And it never entered my mind until I heard him say it on one of the late night shows the other night. I never thought about it until then.
I'll tell you a fact that you can't argue with me on.
Right.
That is actually factual. Did you know that the pool on the Titanic is still filled with water?
I saw that on Facebook today.
That's terrible. Marie says, can't ride a door. Well, I don't know. I've seen some people ride doors before. That's a whole nother subject right there. I'm going to leave that one alone, right?
Exactly.
Right. So
but no, the one thing I was going to say, you know, you guys were talking about Logano because I was watching the race, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, you know, even Clint was sitting there calling and going, here he comes.
Right.
You know, he's going to do something. Yep. You know, you're thinking the bump and run, but when I first saw it, my initial thought was that Byron backed up the corner a little bit sooner, and Logano was, you know, maybe not expecting whatever, but probably his mind was, well, if he does, I'm going to move him. That was my first initial thought. But when Logano comes up on his interview and says, well, when you back me into the wall, don't be thinking you're not getting anything back from it. Come on.
I think Joey Logano's just an ironhead. You know, I think he just like, listen, hold on. Remember when he took out Matt Kenseth leading the race at Kansas Speedway? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then Matt come back and got him back at Martinsville. Remember that? Crashed him when he was leading the race.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, you know, I'm watching NASCAR with, you know, 9 or 10 winners. They're taking 16 to the chase. It's getting to the point where points still matter. You know, like you said earlier, you have to win to get in.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the mentality now. And points aren't, no one's going to care about points.
That's true.
You don't see guys saying, well, we got to get the car fixed. We got to get.
Got to get all the points we can get, right? Yeah. You never see that anymore.
When was the last time you heard that?
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I got to say this. This is one of the funniest things I've read all day. Cole says, who's Paul kidding? Most houses in Arkansas have 6 wheels. That's too funny.
Ain't touching that.
Well, I did. Don't touch it.
But I will say, I'm going to ask you this. Now, it's bad. I'm flying out to Vegas tomorrow out of Wichita.
Yeah.
And the bad thing is, I can place a bet for the race Sunday.
Yeah.
But I can't figure out who. That's the problem.
At Kansas Speedway?
Yeah.
Sunday. I'm going to say that you need to bet on a Chevy.
Do you just go Hendricks? You can't do that because look what Ross Chastain's done.
I know it. Either Ross Chastain or a Chevy. That's what I'm saying. What's right?
He's a Chevy.
He is a Chevy, yes. Isn't he?
Yeah,
oh, that's right, because that's from the Chip Ganassi stable, right? Yeah.
You don't see Ford up there much.
See, that's where Austin, that's why Austin is so important to me. He just corrects me when I'm wrong.
He's been huge. He's been a great addition.
He's a great addition. I am so blessed to have him.
But the one thing I do want, since you're getting into the late models, I want you to come down to Humboldt with me when World Velos gets down there. I want you to watch them with me.
All right, I'll do it. All right, Ryan.
Because I'm hitting Humboldt in 81.
I just need to take the motor. Weekend. I'll just take the bus down there and hang out. That's what I need to do.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you calling in, Ryan. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. That was so funny. Not as bad as not as bad as Washington. Boy, no kidding. Really, Paul. When you're up there in Washington, there's a lot of people living in RVs and campers and parking lots. It is crazy.
What about tents? Like homeless tents? Do you count that as a door?
No, that's a zipper.
I mean, it opens.
I know, but it's a zipper. It's not a door.
Okay.
All right. All right. You got anything you want to add here, Austin, before we get out of here? No?
I don't think so.
So hopefully you're not going to be here tomorrow, right? Hopefully.
I hope I don't have to be here. I hate to say that, but
No, you'd rather be here, but you want your motor worse than you want to be here.
Yes.
That's correct. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody tuning in to the show again. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. You know, it works, right? That's what they tell you. It works. And listen, Mav TV, you see the big Mav TV behind us? All the programming that you see on that TV behind us, that's what you get when you buy Mav TV as your cable, if your cable provider provides it to you. And if they don't, you need to call them and tell them, I want my Mav TV. All right? That's what you need to do. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. For Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow. Do we know who we have on yet tomorrow? We don't, do we? We're going to have somebody good on. That's for sure. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time here on Mostly Motorsports. It's brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. See you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.